This is Deborah Beck, professor of ancient Greek literature in the Department of Classics at the University of Texas at Austin. My students and I are excited to welcome you to our podcast, Musings in Greek Literature.
Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of our Argonautica podcast. My name is Dylan, and I'm here with Natalie to discuss Medea and her first instance of love for Jason. At this point in the poem, a small delegation of the Argonauts have gone to the palace of Iutes to see if they can complete their mission, using diplomacy alone. Here, in lines 280 to 298, we see Medea struck by the arrow of Eros, the Greek equivalent of Cupid, and fall dangerously in love with Jason.
Okay, so hi guys, my name is Dylan, I'm here with Natalie. Welcome to episode 3 of the Argonautica podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Eros and the character of Medea. So Eros and the theme of love is very important in book 3 of the Argonautica. It's in a unique way within epic poetry. And in lines approximately 280 to 300. We shall see the first instance of Medea being shot by the arrow of Eros, who is of course sent by Aphrodite and Hera, and she is thus inflicted with love for Jason. This is significant, as this will be how Jason eventually manages to complete his task. So instead of using sort of his own cunning as Odysseus might, or using his strength as Achilles might, we see Jason has to rely on the love that the gods contrived for him with Medea. So looking at the lines themselves, so this is talking about Eros. He put the notched end in the middle of the string, and with his feet set apart, he shot straight at Medea with both hands, and speechlessly seized her soul. So that's the instance of Eros actually shooting Medea with the arrow. It's physical, the physical image of her being inflicted with love. The arrow kindled from below the girl's heart like a flame, and in return she was always casting bright glances at Jason, and in her breast her more wise mind wavered with lovesickness, and she had no other memory, and her soul melted in sweet pain. So, Natalie, I don't know if you've got any thoughts about what these sort of lines might suggest. I mean, that the comparison of love to a flame and sort of the lovesickness and glances, maybe?
Yeah, I definitely think there are very large implications here. I mean, you have the symbolism of the fire, which is both an extremely destructive element, but also used as something burning brightly right here, and used for hope. And obviously we have a lot of background myths involving fire, a lot of fire rituals from before this era, and I guess also just fire being a symbol of a purifying element that has that destructive nature, but that also is associated with love and sweetness and hope.
Yeah, I really love that sort of that idea of its dual nature. On the one hand, it's a good thing that provides heat and warmth and love, but on the other hand, it can completely get out of hand and destroy everything. And it's sort of being suggested here that Medea is in that position. You know, if there's the potential for this to go either way, but the implication is that that she, with her breast, her wise mind is wavering. She's sort of losing her senses. Speechlessness seized her soul. With the speechlessness is given and put in the nominative in the Greek, suggesting it has the sort of the agency here, and Medea is placed behind that. Yeah. Also, the idea of sort of love and fire is a classic trope. You see it in many different texts, especially Sappho, which Apollonius is really drawing on here. I don't know if you've got any ideas on why sort of he might be looking to Sappho as the sort of iconic love poet in his epic poem, which seems to be, would be out of place maybe in Homer, but here it seems to be working.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very, I think it's very interesting that we draw on maybe a different sort of epic tale than we get with the Odyssey, where the main event where you're going into the conflict has to do more with warlike ideas, and here you get probably more of a love theme. So you do get this fire of love, and Medea as this character coming out as an aid to Jason in a lot of ways, but also her own character.
Yeah, for sure.
Is characterized with this fire, and the love being such an essential part of this journey and of Jason's journey, I think is what makes it such an interesting epic story.
Mm. And he's placing the sort of epic within the tradition of the lyric poetry of Sappho, which is interesting. And he also, there are many sort of aspects of this passage which are intertextual. Apollonius loves to draw on and reference other texts, and we see that as well when in the lines when Cupid Eros actually shoots Medea, it's reminiscent of when Menelaus is in book 3 of the Iliad is shot, which prevents the sort of the duel between him and Paris ending the war. So in that sense, the shot prevented a peaceful resolution. And now Apollonius is echoing that again in these lines. So by referencing the Iliad, he's kind of suggesting that here a peaceful resolution is also maybe being prevented as well with the same similar kind of shot. Yeah. And he also seems to be setting Medea and Jason up as sort of, there's a duel, you know, it's some sort of fight. The way in which Medea, the word Antia, so she gets shot, and in return she casts her bright glances at Jason. It's sort of like a 1-2 battle thing, potentially suggesting that, you know, there's going to be a loser. So if we continue on and look at sort of this, what then Medea is compared to, there's Apollonius works in a pretty interesting simile about her, how she sort of begins to experience this love. So, just as a weaving woman who cares for work piles kindling around a blazing brand, and as she prepares a fire under a roof at night, having awakened early, and the indescribable fire, having arisen from a small brand with kindling, utterly destroys everything. So these lines, this is comparing Medea to this weaving woman. I'm not sure if you have any ideas about what that could mean, Natalie.
Yeah, I definitely think there are a lot of implications with that, because it's really just drawing in a lot of intertextual reference, and Medea just becomes this epic woman in the tradition of figures like Penelope and Helen, and specifically with Penelope, we see a figure weaving and unweaving every night, like in support of Odysseus. So we kind of get Medea set up in this tradition of weaving. We get her in this tradition of like that supporting role that perhaps Penelope played. But we also get, we get that it's kindling and that it utterly destroys everything, which I think is huge, because I think it's very much maybe foreshadowing like how this love will affect.
It's pretty ominous, isn't it? It utterly destroys everything. Panther. Yeah, so yeah, just that idea of comparing her to a weaving woman. So, for those who don't know, weaving is sort of the occupation for women in ancient Greece and in epic poetry, from the poor to the high class. But here, the implication is that she's a weaving woman who is working. That suggests that she's actually a widow, because she now has to do the work for the house, and she has to do that by weaving, which also has kind of ominous implications that at the beginning of her love, she's already being compared to someone who's lost their love. And yeah, the idea of her also occupying that space as an epic woman. So you've got the Penelope on one side, who's very loyal to her husband and to her household, and Helen on the other, who's also described as weaving in book three of the Iliad, but does it with no agency, has very little agency in that poem. Medea is all similarly going to be taken away by a foreign husband, but instead, unlike Helen and potentially Penelope, Medea is the one with the agency. Medea actually causes Jason's quest to be fulfilled. She causes the troubles, she does, or arguably Hera does, by inflicting her with this love. But unlike those women, Medea's, because of perhaps her agency, because perhaps of her, the strength of this and the sort of ominous nature of her love is fine, eventually, we think, going to fail. She's going to leave her family. She's going to cause some the destruction of her household. Just as the fire utterly destroys everything.
Right. Yeah. I think it's really interesting. That it just destroys everything. And obviously within this story, what's going to happen? well, I guess no spoilers, but with an epic story, maybe this has implications also for the Euripides story of Medea and what's going to happen later on in her life, kind of in that tradition of Medea and Jason, and how,
sure.
Yeah, it might burn and destroy her in the end.
Yeah, I'm sure the audience would have been aware. They know that what's eventually going to happen with Medea and Jason and their family. And Apollonius here is sort of writing the beginning to that and giving us a pretty ominous forecast.
Yeah, I think he really foreshadows a lot.
The thing that gets me is that, like, I feel terrible for Medea. She's just at home, basically doing nothing. And because of the contrivances of the gods and Hera, she's inflicted with this huge sort of doom. Yeah, to a modern audience it seems quite unfair, really.
Right. Yeah, and we see her grappling with her own thoughts and the thoughts being put into her head, and grappling with this fire. Yeah.
Yeah, so that idea that in epic Greek poetry your fate is determined to some extent. She has agency in helping Jason, but she has little agency in sort of the decision to help Jason, if that makes sense. Yeah, so I think that's pretty good. What did we learn? So how was the experience of sort of teaching this, and what did I sort of pick up from it? Perhaps just the way that Apollonius, and I'm sure in your passage when you did it as well, Natalie, he really invites interpretation in his with his language. You know, all his references, his rich sort of similes and imagery really sort of invite the reader to make these connections, you know, set this poem within the epic context and draw inferences from that, but in the way he characterizes these heroes as well.
Yeah, I definitely think he has a lot of underlying underlying similes and references to other works, and a lot of underlying tensions too, maybe between different elements and different thoughts that characters are having, and between the different characters, like as we were talking about Medea and Jason. So it's definitely very, very rich.
Okay. Well, I think that's most of what we've got for today. Do you want to sort of give a brief idea on what your podcast is going to be talking about next week?
Yeah, for sure. So next week, we're going to move a little bit farther to the point where Argos is kind of, or Argos and Jason are kind of walking back and coming up with their own plan of talking to Medea. So we're going to be switching kind of to another perspective of the story. And I think we're going to see a lot of the same underlying tensions, metaphors, and other great elements for interpretation.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
This is Musings in Greek Literature. If you like our podcast, please leave us a comment or review to help other listeners find us. Thanks for listening.